Well, do find a Bible near you. There should be one in the pews or in the blue chairs, or if you need a larger print one, there's some down on the front steps down here. Sam's going to come and read to us from John chapter 4. It's on page 1066, which is a memorable page. John chapter 4 and verses 7 to 15 in the church Bibles. And then once Sam has read, Luke is going to come and preach to us.
John chapter 4. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as he did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water."
Thank you for reading that. Let's pray again. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for that it is the ground we stand on. Thank you for the clarity of truth. Thank you for your heart that comes through so clearly through this story. Thank you that you come after us, just like you came after the Samaritan woman. And I thank you for your love in our lives and for the way that does overflow like this spring of water that you spoke of, Jesus. And I pray that that spring of water would overflow in our hearts this morning and that you would speak to us from your word. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Our God's a missionary God, and he's always coming after us. And we see that right from the Old Testament to the New Testament, how God's always coming after us. And he does that today. He does that for me and you. And he does that for people around us who don't even know it. They don't even know that God is after them. He's on a mission for their hearts, and they don't know it yet. It's wonderful when we find out and we realize God's love for us and to be part of a fellowship like this. And sometimes we don't realize it, or we even forget it. Maybe you've been part of this fellowship all your life. I want to remind us how unique it is and wonderful it is to be in a place where you can be in relationship and in fellowship and in community with people of all different ages, all different backgrounds, all different cultures, and we're united by this one faith, this one baptism, this one spirit, and we're grounded in the word that is the truth. And in a world that's so changing all the time, so fluid, we have a ground to stand on that is taught faithfully every Sunday, every during the week in small groups. And it's wonderful to be part of that. I always feel blessed when I come here and I'm reminded of the upbringing I had growing up in the church here and learning in Sunday school. And so much of what we're able to be involved with today in other countries and other places comes from being grounded in that community, that fellowship, and that word, that teaching of that word. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you're new to the community and you're discovering that now, but it is unique. Society has nothing like it to offer. The church that Jesus established, that is this family of believers. And it's wonderful to be here together. And Jesus would go places like we see in this story where there are people that often don't feel part of that. They feel rejected, or they feel far from that kind of community and that kind of truth. And so that's what I love about this story, seeing the missionary heart of God in Jesus. And it makes me think about, what are the Samaritan wells in our time, in our place, in our area? What are the wells or the places where there's somebody like the Samaritan woman who maybe felt rejected? Maybe she comes to the well at midday when other women are not there. because she's afraid of facing other people. And Jesus goes and waits for her there. And where are those places today in our world where people would make, there are people that maybe wouldn't walk into a church who struggle with that, who have negative ideas or different ideas of who God is and who Jesus is, and therefore it's inaccessible to them. Well, I wanted to start by sharing a story of a place like that, that Anya and I and our team have been able to go to over the last years. About 8 or 9 years now, we've had a team going to a festival in Poland called Woodstock, based on the old Woodstock Festival. It's very similar to it. There are 800,000 young people and young adults going there every year. If that was to represent the Polish population, that's about 10% of the young people of Poland turn up at this one festival. And it's 3 days of, you know, just being free, I guess, in one sense of the word. I don't know if it's the kind of freedom I'd look for, but there's a lot of craziness and people just searching for something. But it's a very difficult place. There are two kinds of workers there. There's one who are the big security guards who split up the fights, and there's the others who go around with a wheelbarrow because they have to pick up the people who have passed out because they've drunk too much. And so this is the kind of environment we're in. And we serve a breakfast every morning there so that we can talk to people and share who Jesus is with them. And we also, last year we were there and we thought, it's a bit overwhelming. Thousands of people. It's like, how can we share the word with these people? Wouldn't it be wonderful if so many of these young people here got to hear and understand who Jesus is in a way that they could understand and get them thinking and get them searching more? So we were praying, God, how can we get into the middle of the festival where people are and share the truth about you? And so we had this idea of going into the festival with my band. So I have a band in Poland. It's a rock band. And we wanted to play at the festival. One of the problems was we weren't invited to play there. But we're a punk band. You know, we have some punk roots, so we don't really need to be invited. So we decided to turn up with our generator and some speakers, and we set up in the middle of the festival, in the middle of the campground, and started playing our music. Around 300 or 400 people gathered around us to listen to the music. We played for 15 minutes, and then we stopped and we started to share the word and explain who Jesus is. Now, you might imagine that that's a difficult environment to talk about who Jesus is, and you might imagine that people react with negativity or against it. They've been brought up in a religious culture, but they've turned away from it. They consider it a dead tradition that they don't want to be anything a part of. But I believe that what this passage shows us today, and what I see in places like Polish Woodstock, and in many places in Cheam or London or the UK, there are people who have rejected the tradition, but they are still spiritually hungry and thirsty for truth, just like the woman at the well. So I want to bring you with us into that missionary field that we feel called to, and join us at Woodstock Festival right now and be part of the moment when we share the message of the gospel in a short video. So let's just watch this for a minute. I hope the sound works.
Thanks.
Because you were made.
Ponieważ jesteś ukształtowany, ukształtowana.
You were made.
Jesteś ukształtowany.
Somebody made us.
Ktoś nas ukształtował, stworzył.
There is something bigger than me and bigger than you.
Ktoś większy niż ja czy ty.
And he's here right now.
I on jest tutaj teraz.
And he walks on this earth.
I on chodził po tej ziemi.
And religious people killed him.
A religijni ludzie go zabili.
And religion has continued to make it difficult for us to understand.
I religia ciągle powiększa problemy, nie możemy tego zrozumieć.
Because when I say Jesus,
kiedy mówię Jezus,
is it jamming up?
You think
keep going.
Religion.
Wtedy myślicie,
you think religion.
Religia, myślicie religia.
I get that, I understand.
Ja to rozumiem.
But that's a lie.
Ale to jest kłamstwo.
The truth is, God is real.
Prawda jest taka, że Bóg istnieje naprawdę.
He's here right now.
On jest tutaj teraz.
And he can change everything.
I może zmienić wszystko.
He can change us inside.
Może zmienić nas od środka.
And he can change the world around us.
I może zmienić świat naokoło nas.
But to find him,
musimy znaleźć
you
Jego.
Have to want to fight.
Aby znaleźć Go, musimy o to walczyć.
You have to want to fight.
Musisz chcieć o to zawalczyć.
It's for brave women and brave men.
To jest dla odważnych kobiet i odważnych mężczyzn.
It's for those who want to stand up against this society.
To jest dla tych, którzy chcą przeciwstawić się temu społecznemu porządkowi. I którzy mają odwagę powiedzieć, nie akceptuję kłamstw, które mi mówiono. Wierzę, chcę wierzyć, że jest więcej. I chodzi o poddanie.
Giving your life.
danie życia.
For something worth dying for.
Komuś, czemuś wartemu.
And something worth living for.
I życia.
That's what Jesus was about.
O to chodziło Jezusowi.
I follow Jesus.
Ja podążam za Jezusem.
I don't follow a religion.
Nie podążam za religią.
I'm not Catholic, Protestant, all these different names.
Nie jestem jakimś tam katolikiem, protestantem czy inną naklejką.
I follow Jesus.
Ja podążam za Jezusem.
This is for everyone.
I to jest dla każdego.
It's for me and you.
Dla ciebie i dla mnie.
It was for people who are not perfect.
To było i jest dla ludzi, którzy nie są doskonali.
Like me and you.
Jak ty i ja.
We can have that peace right now.
Możemy mieć ten pokój tu i teraz.
He wants to be close to us.
On chce być blisko nas.
He wants us to be close to him.
On chce, żebyśmy my byli blisko
the
Jego.
Source, the one who is bigger than me.
Tego, który jest źródłem, większego od nas.
If you want that,
jeśli tego chcesz,
then put your hand in the air with me.
Podnieś rękę do góry, pięść.
You want that peace?
Czy chcesz tego pokoju?
You want to know God in that way?
Chcesz Boga znać w ten sposób?
God, thank you that you are here.
Boże, dzięki ci, że jesteś tutaj.
Thank you for all these people with their hands in the air.
Dzięki ci za osoby z rękami w górze.
I'd explained a little bit before that, a bit more about who Jesus is and what it meant that he died and rose from the dead. And I think that one of the things that hit me seeing that was realizing that even though they were shouting at me while I was trying to explain who Jesus was, the moment that I asked them if they wanted to have peace with God, they all raised their hands. And it showed to me, it reminded me that there is this spiritual thirst in people, even when it looks like they're against it. Even when, if I say, come to church with me on Sunday, they would not come at that moment. But they are open, they're ready. And that's, for many, just the first step. It's just a moment of saying, wait a minute, maybe there's something more. Maybe there's something I haven't considered. Maybe the idea I have about who Jesus is isn't accurate and I need to rethink that. Our team goes into the crowd then to pray for people, to talk with people. And one of the interesting things that happened is one of the guys walking by and who saw that was the leader of the Hare Krishna village in the festival. So Hare Krishna, as you might know, is a Hindu sect that is very present in Eastern Europe. And they're at this festival that people are into the new age and that sort of thing. He walked by, he saw that, and this year he invited us to play on his stage, which is one of the large stages in the festival. And we just did that a month ago. We played on the Hare Krishna stage, we shared the word like we did here, explaining who Jesus is and inviting people forward to pray. And one of the people that came was the leader of the Hare Krishna village. So my wife Anya was there and she said, do you follow Krishna? And he said, I don't follow anymore. I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know what to think. So I said, will you accept prayer? Can I pray for you? And he said, yes, please. And he grabbed my hands and he put my hands on his head. And he said, please pray for me. So the band gathered around and prayed for the leader of the Hare Krishna village. Because people are open today. They're thirsty and they're hungry for truth, even when they don't look like it. And I want to look at that in the passage. And I want to first just remember and see that in our context, in our culture around us today. There's a band from Sheffield called Bring Me the Horizon. And they are declared atheists, yet they talk about this spiritual thirst all the time. This is some of their lyrics. I have a hole in my soul growing deeper. The loneliness is haunting me, and the weight of the world is getting harder to hold up. Who will fix me now? Save me from myself. Don't let me drown. And I hear in those lyrics and in many lyrics of bands and pop culture today a cry of people saying, I need something more and I don't know where to find it. Save me from myself. Somebody show me what's right. Don't let me drown. I want to read some other lyrics from Florence and the Machine. And she released this album late last year. And it's got a number of very interesting lyrics in it. But this song called Hunger. I'll read a good part of the lyrics for you. But she says, at 17... I started to starve myself, and I thought that love was a kind of emptiness. And at least I understood then the hunger I felt, and I didn't have to call it loneliness. We all have a hunger. Don't let it get you down. You're the best thing I've seen. We never found the answer, but we knew one thing. We all have a hunger. I thought that love was in the drugs, but the more I took, the more it took away. I could never get enough. I thought that love was on the stage. You give yourself to strangers. You don't have to be afraid. And then it tries to find a home with people, and I'm alone. Picking it apart, I'm staring at my phone. We all have a hunger. Don't let it get you down. You're the best thing I've seen. We never found the answer, but we knew one thing. we all have a hunger. And I think that that's the reality of the generation around us today. And we're a church that has a wonderful heritage of missions. We've sent missionaries for many, many years. Missionaries who went to other countries, often on ships. And if you read some of the history of missions, there are amazing stories of men like Hudson Taylor and others who went on ships and carried their coffins with them because they didn't know if they were coming home. And they gave all they had to reach countries and nations and people that could not have access to the Word of God, to the truth. And I believe we're in a time today when that far nation, that far culture is in our cities. It's the secular culture around us. It's the young generation who don't have a chance to hear who Jesus is in a way they can understand. So my prayer has been, where are the missionaries for this generation? Where are the missionaries that would go out today to these people who don't get to hear the truth about him? And I see the character of God in this story of the Samaritan woman, and something that we can learn from and put into practice even in our context today. Because when we see Jesus going to Samaria, we see him crossing various barriers to get to this woman. First of all, a geographical one, because the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people, if they're going from Jerusalem to Galilee, as Jesus was at that moment, they wouldn't walk through Samaria. They would go around. There was a different route they would take. But Jesus purposefully chooses to go through Samaria. He goes straight to that town, a rejected town, and he crosses this geographic barrier, but he's also then talking to a woman at the well, crossing a barrier of gender, and how it was inappropriate for a man, and especially one considered a rabbi, to speak to a woman in that way. And he crosses that barrier because he wants to get to that woman. And then we see him also crossing a racial barrier, because the reason they wouldn't walk through Samaria is because there was real racism happening there between the Samaritans and the Jewish people. They would not eat together. They would not be together. They would not even share the same cups and utensils because of this racial divide. And yet Jesus sits by the well and asks the woman for a drink. And he doesn't have a cup, so he would need to share the cup that she has. And this is what he's willing to do, to cross these barriers to get to them. There's a lot of purpose in it. And it makes me think, where are the wells today, the Samaritan wells, that you and I need to go to as Jesus did? Where are the people that would not walk into our church, in our own neighborhood? Maybe it's our neighbors. Maybe it's people we work with. Maybe there are people on the high street or in the clubs or in the universities and schools or in the festivals who have a hard time understanding the faith because they've never heard it in a way they can understand. And how can we go after them just like Jesus pursued them? And the way Jesus does it is interesting because he tries to provoke, the way I understand or see it is, he tries to provoke a thirst in her. It's a thirst that's there, but she doesn't realize. She's unaware of her spiritual thirst. So he says in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink. If you knew that you were thirsty, if you knew that you had this need inside of you, you would have come after it. You would have asked him for it. And so he sees her in this light. Even though she seems to resist him, he sees that thirst and he goes after it. And he goes, I know you're telling me you don't want to talk to me, but you need this. And I think that a lot of our generation are like that today. They resist, they reject, but deep down they know they need it, as we see when people raise their hands in response to saying, I need peace with God. And then further on in the passage, we see the woman resisting again and saying, well, you know, you ask me if I want water, but are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? So there are many barriers Jesus is crossing, but maybe the largest is this resistance the woman shows, the resistance of her own heart. It's funny because often we see her as a victim. When we read that story, and you might have read it many times, we see her as this poor woman who's a victim who suffers and Jesus comes and helps her. But really, if you look closely, if we look carefully, there's some pride there. She's saying, well, you know, we have this well that our father Jacob gave us, and it's special. It's a special well. Are you greater than Jacob? So she's, in a sense, hiding behind her culture, her history, and she's saying, I don't really need what you're bringing. We're good. We have what we need right here. And in fact, if we were to read that whole passage, four times she resists Jesus with different questions and different points because she has an idea of what she needs and she doesn't see her thirst. And I think that again reflects a lot our generation and the world around us, the culture around us, who is saying, I don't need this. I'm okay. I have enough. I don't need you to tell me about this spiritual truth or about the Bible or about who Jesus is. I'm okay. We have this well. That, you know, it's this well that I come to it every day and it satisfies me. But it's a temporary satisfaction. And that's what Jesus points out. He says, you will keep coming back to this well. You will never be satisfied. And I think that's the message that our culture around us needs to hear today. You will keep going back to your entertainment, to materialism, to the distractions and the hobbies that we try to fill our lives with, to the holidays, to all these things. You can keep going back to them, but they're never going to be enough. They're never enough to truly satisfy what our souls and our hearts need. And so even though she keeps resisting, Jesus continues to go after her, and he persists, and he shows her that what he's talking about is bigger than all of that. And he shows that in verse 15. He says, sorry, in verse 14, just before, he says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up for eternal life. There's this spring that he promises, that he says he will put inside of us, that will continue to well up and give us life and satisfaction. This is the living water that Jesus offers. It's beyond anything the world can offer. And when we find it, when we really meet Jesus and we realize who he is, when those guys really realize what Jesus is about, the world becomes less interesting. The things that we distract ourselves with become less interesting. And that well is what feeds our thirst and what keeps us alive. So now to end, the interesting thing about this story, and if we had time to read the last part, the end of the story, then we would find, and many of you have read it and know it, that Jesus then says to the woman, well, go find your husband, bring him back, let's talk some more. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And he says, yes, I know, you've had five, and the man you live with right now is not your husband. And so he challenges, he goes straight to her heart, challenges her in her sin. And her reaction is very interesting, because she takes that and she goes, you must, you know, we've heard of the Christ, and I see you're a prophet. And she starts being more open to this message. Finally, Jesus sends her back to the town, and this rejected woman who was hiding by going to the well at midday when it's hot like it is right now and none of the other women were around, suddenly becomes the missionary for the town, because she comes back to the town, she calls all her neighbors and all the people, and she says, come and see this man that has told me everything about my life and about who I am. And she's suddenly publicly sharing her sin with people, saying, you know, I had five husbands and he told me about all my husbands and maybe he's the Messiah, let's go and check it out. And she brings the whole town. They ask Jesus to stay longer, and he stays a few days, and many in that town become believers. His mission in Samaria is more successful than his mission in Galilee, where his hometown is. So the woman who was an adulterous woman, who was a rejected woman, becomes a missionary to her hometown. And that's good news for me. Because on one hand, I put myself in her place saying, I want to remember the thirst, the spiritual thirst that you and I have. And I'd like to know God more. I need that thirst to grow in me so I can know him more. So I'm in her place in that sense. But I'm also then encouraged to put myself in her place when she goes to the town as a missionary. Because if she was good enough to be a missionary in the sense that she was called by Jesus to be a missionary, then there's hope for you and I. Because we too can be missionaries to our own town. And we too can go to our neighbors and share and say, look what he has shown me. He's shown me who I am, and we should go and check it out. We should go and see what Jesus is really about. So I love how Jesus' missionary heart is there, and he encourages that in her immediately. And if you remember that passage, at the end, the disciples come back, and they're surprised he's been talking to a woman, and they've brought him food, and they say, Jesus, we have food for you. But he's so excited about the conversation he's just had with this woman that he says, I don't need this food. I have another food. There is a food that I have that is doing the work of the Father. And then he says, look around you. They say that the harvest is not ready, but look, it's ready. The harvest is ready. Can you see the excitement of an evangelist in Jesus in this statement that he has in verse 35? If you could put that on the screen for me, which is at the end of that chapter. He says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months till harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus' excitement in his conversation with the woman, seeing her heart, that was such a resistant heart, opening up and saying, I need this. You see straight through me. You know me. And I want to not only know you, but tell everybody else about you. And she goes out and tells them. And Jesus' excitement around that town, coming and finding truth and finding hope in him. That's an excitement I want to have too. And sometimes life is hard. Sometimes we go through difficult times. We lose. We have struggles. But if we can keep the perspective on him, that eternal perspective, and remember that spring of water welling up inside every follower of Jesus, every man and woman in this place, that we can keep going to and keep drinking from, and that we are privileged and blessed with that, and that it sends us out to go to the harvest that's ready. And often people ask us, with the kind of work we do with young people that are often very against the church, is it difficult? You know, how is that? And I often answer saying, actually, what we find is what Jesus says. The harvest is ready. Even the hardest hearts are ready. If they get the chance to understand who Jesus is in a way they can understand, and in a personal way where they meet a real person who really believes that, who they can really talk to. And that's what people need today. So my prayer is that God would call us and that he would send us out. That spring of living water would grow up in us right now this morning as his Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and reminds us of who he is. And that would send us out with courage to share in Cheam, in Sutton, in London, in the UK, in the world. And that we would see more missionaries raising up for this generation that would be as radical in their faith as Hudson Taylor or many of the other missionaries who gave everything they had to go to distant countries, that we would see missionaries raising up for this generation. So I'd love to pray that right now. And if there are some here who you're hearing this and you hear Jesus' heart for the woman and how he went after her and how he promised her this living water and she realized that spiritual thirst, and maybe you're realizing that now and you haven't really ever had that. You're saying, I'm not sure if I've really got that spring of water in me. I don't know if I've really encountered Jesus in that way, and yet I'm aware of a spiritual thirst I have. Then all you have to do is tell him that you need that, that you are not able on your own, and to turn to him. And when you turn to him, he fills you with that living water. And you can do that right now in your own words and in your heart. And if there are others here like me who are saying, I need to be reminded of that thirst. I need to be more thirsty for Jesus. And I want to go to my town and know that whatever my past is, my current challenges are, or my fears of the future, if the Samaritan woman could do it, then I can do it too, because Jesus calls us, and it's by his power and his calling that we can go and share the truth with people today, even the hardest hearts. So Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us and reminding us who you are through this story of a woman who maybe at first wasn't sure what to think of you, and yet you kept persisting and pursuing and asking questions until she opened, until she realized the thirst she has. I pray that you would also help us to see the thirst in people around us today, in our neighbors, in our work colleagues, in the people we study with, the people we meet on the streets, that we would be reminded of the spiritual thirst in all of them, and we'd be reminded of the spiritual thirst in our own hearts. And I pray you'd help us to turn to you, to not be distracted by the world, to not be satisfied, to seek satisfaction in things that don't satisfy, but to turn to you. I pray, Jesus, if there's somebody here this morning that hasn't yet met you in that way, that you would speak to their hearts and they'd be able to turn to you right now and say, Jesus, I need you. I need this living water. I'm thirsty. I don't have it. I pray that you would come into my life right now. And for those of us that really need to be reminded that whatever the context you've called us to, we are your missionaries, because that's who you are, a missionary God who goes after people. Let us share that joy, that excitement that you had, Jesus, of saying, I don't even need food. The harvest is ready, and I'm excited about that. And I pray you'd just grow that excitement in our hearts again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.